This is the Racer X Canada podcast show, brought to you by Shift Racing. Check them out at shift.ca, and remember, shift happens. By the way, they also have chick gear now, so you can get your significant other looking good with their shift gear. My name's Steve Mathis, and this week's guest is J-Bone, otherwise known as Jeremy Albrecht. Jeremy is a team manager at the Joe Gibbs Yamaha Racing Team, JGR as we call them in the biz. It's a very new and very intriguing team. They have a ton of funding behind them, some trick bikes, and all the shop facilities to make their bikes really, really good. Had a NASCAR team for a few years, many, many years, capturing a couple of cup titles, so this team is there, they're there to race, and they know what they're doing. They have the two Joshes, Summy and Hansen, riding for them this year, and even though Summy changed his name to Charles, he'll always be Josh to me. There is no doubt that JGR is gunning for a big name to head up their team in 09. And J-Bone touches on that a little bit in this interview. From his early years as a test mechanic at Yamaha to working for Jeff Emig and James Stewart in their title years, Jeremy has seen and done a lot. And now for the first time ever on a podcast, I present to you Jeremy Albrecht. As always, buy Shift Gear and support Racer X. And all of these funny, informative, and highly entertaining podcasts are available on iTunes for your download pleasure. J-Bone, thanks for doing the Racer X Canada podcast.
Oh, this is Racer Canada?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. I like Canadian. That's cool.
Yeah, it's going to go on the Racer X USA site, too, like under the breaking news thing. So don't worry, buddy. You're U.S. people.
Well, this is great. This is a good time, man. We're going to Canada.
Well, I'd like to think so. But, how's the deal with the brand new team? How is it?
It's going great. Results are not what I was hoping, but as far as the team itself and how it's all coming together and as far as being a new team, I think we're doing great.
You think you're doing good? Yeah.
What do you guys think? I mean, you tell me what your opinion is.
I
have people write in and tell me what they think.
Yeah, well, I'm one of those internet journalists that nobody really likes.
Yeah, but you like me? You're honest?
Yeah, no. I'm honest sometimes to a fault. What do I think? I think that you guys are doing good. You look very professional. You've got great bikes. Everything looks good. I think all your I don't really know your suspension guy, but I know everybody else on the
team. Awesome. Love the guy.
Is he? Is he cool?
Yeah, he's actually one of the best suspension guys I've worked with.
So I think
most of them aren't open-minded, and he really is.
Is he a weirdo, though? You know, do you notice how most suspension people, Ross, John R., who else can I think of? Corey Hutter, they're kind of a little different, a little weird.
Graham.
Graham.
That was pretty normal for a suspension guy, though. He actually recommended Johnny to me, so I really liked Kaipo, and he actually worked with Johnny, and he's the one that put me in touch with Johnny.
Okay, good. So everything's going good.
Johnny's a personality. Yeah, he's a little dorky, I guess you could say. He loves spreadsheets, but really good personality, funny. For a suspension guy, I'm really, he fits in really good. I'm
okay.
Really happy with him.
Good, like I said, your crew is good. You got good guys, good presentation. Obviously, good sponsors behind you. So, I think your results probably aren't where you want them to be.
They're weak.
What's that?
I said, yeah, they're weak.
Well, I thought Sammy would do a little bit better, but he's got to stop, like, trying to drill himself into the ground all the time.
Yeah, well, this weekend, he really rode good considering everything that was going on with him, with his blood sugar and diabetes stuff that was happening because his pump was broken.
Okay.
Yeah, the main thing with Sonny is I feel like he gives me 100% every single time.
Yeah.
And sometimes 100% is bad for him because he tries too hard. But, you know, he's had some definitely, obviously, better results than Hansen, which, you know, that's kind of a bummer considering Hansen should have been doing better than he is by a lot. Talent's there, just the same old thing. You gotta work hard and give it everything you have, and you know, his back injury put him back a lot, so hopefully he decides he wants to do this really bad. That's what I'm trying to drill into him every day.
I think you can't be upset at Sammy. I agree. He gives you 100%.
Exactly.
He tries hard.
Yeah. I mean, you see how many people in this sport have talent but don't give you 100%. Sammy's been getting better, and talent will, you know, he has to work hard for it, but he's an awesome guy and a hard worker and way different than I expected. The tattoos kind of scared me a little bit when I didn't know him. He seemed, you know, man, that guy looks a little gnarly, but
no hair,
really
shaved head.
Eyes. Yeah, he looks mean, but he's really, I got to know him really good, and definitely different than his image, I'll tell you that.
I'm a big fan of his. You know that. I called you
to get him a ride.
Yeah, you did. You did. So. And that definitely helped. Your word helped. But, I mean, for me, you know, all along, originally, you know, we were talking to guys like Tedesco and all that, and the main reason was because I didn't want to hear everyone tell me, why'd you hire this guy, why'd you hire that guy. I wanted to, you know, get a guy that everyone respected and the sponsor would be happy with. But I think I feel good about who we hired, you know. Mm-hmm. The Hanson thing isn't working out exactly like I thought, but, you know, what I did think is that he has talent, and I still do see that.
Yeah.
So I still feel comfortable with my decision. I'm just not happy with the result.
Yeah, what's the status, as much as you can tell us, what's the status of his back? I mean, is it going to require surgery? Is it something he can't ride during the week?
He actually is riding now. So, like, starting last week was his first real full week of doing the program, which riding and training.
Yeah.
Before that, he rode a little bit, but not enough to help him on the weekend. You know, he now can do the full schedule, so his back should be good now.
Yeah.
I shouldn't hear any excuses about it the rest of the year.
Good. Yeah, I mean, look at the heat race last weekend. I mean, you know, you saw all sides of Hanson there. Actually, the
we got to see aggressive, we got to see stupid in the last chance, and we got to see real, you know, a little crash. We got to see it all.
That's what I was going to say, including the LCQ. You saw talented Josh Hanson, fast Josh Hanson, dumb Josh Hanson.
That's right. We got to see all of it.
What's he like to work with mentally? Like, how is he after being off all that time?
Mentally, he reminds me of every rider that is good. I mean, even as far as, you know, even if you're as good as Ricky Carmichael and James Stewart, the hardest part is to keep them. You would think that they're so great that they're really stable, but you really have to talk them into realizing that they're good. And Hanson is the exact same way. Confidence is low.
Yeah.
So the hard thing is you can't get results without having confidence, and you're not going to get confidence without going out and proving yourself. So you almost have to get lucky one race.
it's a vicious cycle, huh?
Yeah, that's the hard part. So, you know, that's kind of what we're struggling with, but you have to go to the line knowing that you put in the hard work, and that's what Ricky and Stewart do, which that's where Hanson lately has been lacking because he hasn't been able to ride or train. So he goes the line already beat.
Yeah.
So last week you saw that he got to ride and he finally felt pretty comfortable on the bike. So as soon as he, you know, we have 2 weeks now to hopefully get him into a little better shape.
Yeah.
And I want to see it changing every week. We don't need to be going backwards for sure. He's way better than what he's doing. That's the part that's really frustrating.
The kid's got talent. It's obvious when you watch him.
And everyone knows that. I mean, you know, the one thing, I heard a lot of good advice from Bruce Turnstrom and Keith McCarty that have been around forever, and it all comes back to everything they tell me is becoming true.
Yeah.
I mean, now, you know, I see all of the frustrations, the things that they've always said all these years, and I mean, like Keith did tell me, don't let your ego get involved if you can change somebody, because they are what they are. At this point, he's been right, and I was hoping that I could show him that we could do something, but you know, at the time, it really was a good choice, and it still could work out to be. I'm not giving up yet, but it definitely isn't what I thought.
Now, I keep hearing whispers in the pits about Gibbs adding maybe a third rider for the outdoors. Is there anything to that?
There's talk that we might put a third guy outdoor. Yes.
Okay. All right. Anything you can tell us for the record?
Not yet.
Okay. They'll
not
be on
yet. This is the worst place I could say it right this minute.
Yeah, if you do add a third rider, they will be on a Yamaha.
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, Yamaha, yeah.
There we go.
I know they will be on a Yamaha, and I know they'll have Toyota Yamaha team graphics.
All right. Well, that's perfect.
And they'll be wearing Troy Lee gear. I know that for sure.
The owners.
Hopefully goggles.
The owners, Coy and Joe Gibbs.
Yes.
Legends in NASCAR, legends in football, just real, you know, been around a long time. They show up at the races, Supercross races. They have their expectations, and they're, you know, they're wondering how it's going. What do you hear from them as far as the team, the organized Supercross itself, racing, motorcycles? What do you hear from them?
They're really happy, actually. I mean, they're you know, obviously Coy, he's you know, loves racing, and when you love racing, you want results, and you know, he's in it every day with us. He's at the shop every day, and he goes to every race, and he sees it going on. So, you know, from the beginning, all we ask is for both guys to give 100%. We didn't care about what place they got.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we feel like they're giving 100%, we're happy. And that's, you know, what we need to fix is to feel comfortable that both guys are giving 100% every time they hit the track. So that is what will satisfy Coy. Now, as far as Joe, you know, he knows it takes time to build a race team. He did it in NASCAR. They didn't go in the first year. He knows it takes time. And we pretty much had a you know, three-year plan. It's not like they knew we weren't going to come in and win. They were realistic. That's why I was comfortable coming here. If I knew I was going to have to come here and win the first year, I wouldn't have. I would have known that, you know, we can't do that. I'm not stupid. And they realize it, and we just need to build on the team. And when I first talked to Joe, he asked me how do we win, and I said, the main thing is you pay the most money. That's the first way.
You're like, well, there's this number 7 rider out there.
Yeah, I mean, you have to pay the most money. That's part of it. But you can't just pay the most money and not have a good team.
No.
So the first thing we have to do is lay down a good platform of a good team. And then when you have a good team, people respect you, and then you can then, you know, bid on people, and, you know, if you pay a dollar more, you get them. That's the way it works. You don't have to, like, go too crazy, but you have to at least have something. Like, when we originally were talking to some guys, it was when we didn't have anything and people didn't know what exactly we were going to do. A lot of people talk and say, we're going to, you know, do this, we're going to do that. We had to go prove it, even if it is Joe Gibbs behind it. No one in our sport knows Joe Gibbs. I actually got to go to the NASCAR facility before I signed and look at it, and when you look at it, you realize, yeah, of course, if I can't do it with this, I can't do it anywhere. I mean, it's really impressive. It's more impressive to walk into their NASCAR shop than to go to any manufacturer that I've been to. It makes them all look like a joke. Yeah.
And
yeah,
I mean,
it's really, really impressive.
I mean,
and they do is race.
Yeah, that's, if you think about it, they're not even producing they're not producing cars. They're just racing. You know what I mean? That's it.
All they do is race. It's a race team. And that's the difference, that everyone in our sport thinks you have to be a factory team to win. But over time, they'll realize that On a factory team, you have restraints and you have budgets and you have things that you just can't do. For us, all I have to do is go ask one guy and we can spend any amount of money we need to spend if it's something we really have to do. And they are there to race. And a lot of things we can leverage with the NASCAR team, like if it's a machine we need that's really expensive, if we could justify it to use it on their side and for us, it makes more sense. But a lot of things that you try to buy, it doesn't make sense for a motorcycle racing team. So we can use it, you know, to our advantage to use, you know, have the NASCAR thing on our side. And the fact that they race and that everything they have done is from sponsor money, from racing. It's not, they don't sell anything.
Yeah.
All they do is race.
That's it.
They know how to race. That's what I like about it.
Like you said, even though they're Gibbs, you know, there's a lot of promises made by a lot of teams over the years. You know,
yeah.
And so you got to kind of prove it, but.
Yeah, I mean, they all say, you know, we want to do this, we want to do that. And, you know, a lot of things that we did want to do that were ideas, you know, mm-hmm. haven't got to do them yet. But, like, we wanted to, you know, do our own shop on the grounds of a test facility and never leave the test. We haven't been able to do that because finding land and building stuff was a little more involved than, you know, the original dream, but. You know, other than that, everything's coming along really good. We got a really nice semi, one of the best test trailers. You know, our shop's really nice. We have our dyno, which it actually has been taking a long time to get all. It's a brand new one, so it's taking a long time to get going. We're finally getting that hooked up. Same with the shock dyno; it'll be best one in the industry by far. But because there's never been one made like this, it's taken forever. So we ran into a few little problems, but. We've been able to, you know, still use dynos and suspension dynos and stuff to do our work.
Indeed.
But as far as having it all in our shop, it's all going to be done here shortly. So,
how much is Yamaha involved in the bikes? I mean, do they give you the suspension, and Dean does the motors? Are they asking you what you're doing? Are they giving you feedback from Reed? How involved is Yamaha?
They're actually really great to deal with, and we try to be the same. I send them spec sheets every week. So they know what we're running, and the suspension guy helps us a lot, you know, between KYB and Gerald. They're really helpful. So, you know, we talk. And then the engine stuff we're doing in-house on our own. Dean and Sean Ulikowski, they're both doing it. So,
yep.
You know, I worked with Dean Baker for a long time at Kawasaki, and he knows what a good bike is. So I trusted him the whole time. So motor-wise, I wasn't really necessarily worried about. Just suspension is what I felt was the key for us. And that's the one thing I noticed this weekend in the whoops. I thought our bike was one of the best ones out there. Both guys riding it. A lot of guys struggling, and I felt like our bike looked really good.
Yeah, that one section was pretty deep.
Yeah, it was pretty gnarly, and I mean, we made a lot of good changes on the weekend. That's why I like to have the team that I have, that we can all sit down and make good decisions. And yeah, I'm really good. Feel really good about the team itself, and it'll definitely get better over time. And you know, the riders they'll get better too. I mean,
Coy and Joe, when they show up at the Supercrosses, are they impressed by anything? The organization, the tracks, the way things run. Do they think it's cheese? Do they think some things are cheeseball? I mean, what do they give you as far as, like, because, I mean, they're involved with probably the number two motorsports racing in the world, you know, NASCAR. You know, definitely NASCAR runs things pretty tight. What are their impressions of our little dinky Supercross series?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there's some things that they would like to see change, but, I mean, with DMG buying the Nationals and you know, they're basically who they deal with, so we'll see, you know, what changes they can implement to make it for it. But the main thing, that the way everything's structured right now, it's really hard for a race team to come in and make money, because Live Nation holds a lot of things back as far as what you can do for sponsors. I mean, unless you're a sponsor of their series, it's pretty difficult. But, you know, it's understandable. I see that side of it, too. But the whole thing, it's not, you know, like NASCAR, it's a lot different. There's, you know, T-shirt sales. There's, you know, you can hand out product. You can do a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's more area for you to make money. I think a lot of the money goes toward the team. Like, the first thing that I noticed is they said, how much money does the team make? I said, nothing. Like, what do you mean? Because in car racing, 45% of it goes to the team. Some of it goes to the driver. It all gets spread out. Where our deal, everything goes to the rider. And then, you know, like, you know, a lot of these teams, you'll get you'll be on a team, you know, they'll get a sponsor, and usually it'll just go just to the rider.
Yep.
A lot of bonuses, just to the rider. Everything's just to the rider. So it's pretty difficult for a team like ours at this exact time to make it make a lot of sense.
But hopefully,
it's going to make sense over time. Like, we're going to, you know, we're going to figure it out and make it work. But the way everything's set up, it's very difficult.
Surely with Gibbs' relationship with the DMG group, which I'm sure there is a great relationship there, you know, you guys will be on the cutting edge of what's changed and what needs to be changed. You know, you'll be right there.
We're hoping that'll will all help out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you never know. I'm sure things aren't going to change in one day. You know, it's going to take time and everyone working together. But, you know, overall, our sport has grown, and it's good. And obviously the good thing about it, they obviously loved it. They wouldn't have came in and wanted to do a Supercross and motocross team. So they do like it, and I'm glad that they have worked with all these other things so they can hopefully help with their ideas. But we had a meeting with Live Nation, and they were really, I mean, they were really good. They're really open, and they want, you know, teams like this to come out. So they've been good to work with.
Good.
You know, it's the same thing, though. It is a lot smaller scale than anything that they've done, and we'll see. I think that they'll have good ideas to try to help it move forward.
What about you guys being privateers? How do you feel about that? What's the story with that? I mean, I've kind of asked a lot of people about it, and I mean, a lot of people feel like Gibbs Racing are not privateers. Now, you're not breaking any rules. You're just doing exactly, you know what I mean? But what's your personal feelings on that?
Well, when I first, you know, thought about it, I asked AMA and Live Nation, and they said they would like to change the rules, because the problem is the sport has changed a lot since they made these rules. But right now, the way the rules are written is that if you get paid by a factory, then you're a factory rider. Well, we pay our guys out of our own money, and we buy our stuff from Yamaha, so we are not, you know, we get an allowance and we get some stuff, but most of it is purchased. So they truly are privateers by the rules. Now, there is no one else that can buy factory suspension. It's never, I mean, we're the first team that's actually been able to do that. So I think it's just ahead of its time, and the sport needs to change with the times. And they are not, in my mind, yeah, of course they're not privateers. A privateer is a guy that, I mean, a guy that buys his own bikes and drives himself to the race. But honestly, who does that in our sport anyways? I mean, Nick Way was a privateer for years, and the guy makes millions of dollars.
Yeah.
So, to me, he wasn't a privateer either. And the other guys that are, you know, complaining about it, they're not either.
Yeah.
They all make money. I mean, honestly, none of them should be privateers. Unless you drive yourself to the race and you work on your own bike or your dad's doing it, you're a privateer. If you're making a decent salary from somebody, which they all are, you're not like some scraping privateer. I mean, they're all doing pretty good. I bet they're all doing better than you and I are doing.
Yeah, I bet you.
You know, I don't think any of them are doing terrible. The sport grew a lot, and everyone can make some money, including us. And, you know, the one true thing is that it just makes, you know, everyone says the poor privateer, but, I mean, the other privateer is Paul Carpenter. He owns his own team. I don't think he's doing terrible.
No, I just saw a new watch that.
Together.
Yeah, I just saw a new watch that Jason Thomas bought, and he's doing all right.
Yeah, like he's a privateer too, a true one, but he does okay. I mean, that's the whole thing. The whole sport has changed. The whole poor privateer. That, you know, it's the same thing. The old mechanics. They used to get good bonuses, but that's because the salaries were low.
Mm-hmm.
Now all the new mechanics that make good money all want these big bonuses when it's really not about that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That was because they had to supplement income because the incomes were low. So a lot of things need to change. And, you know, it's now we have engine guys that do a lot of the engines, so a lot of the mechanics don't even do engines anymore. So really, if you're going to do bonuses, it should be spread out. And that's one thing we did do on our team is we're taking money from the rider a little bit, and we're spreading it out through the team. Everyone gets a part of it.
Really, huh? That's really a good idea.
I wanted to do that to try to make sure that there's no jealousy on the team, and that everyone kind of gets a fair piece of it, and everyone works on the team together. So we did it that way. That's how they do it in NASCAR. So that's one cool thing that Coy came up with that I really liked.
Cool.
So we're doing some cutting edge stuff. You know, it'll get better though.
It's pretty much not really any secret that you guys are looking to hire, you know, a big name rider next year.
We would really like to. I mean, there's a lot of guys available. It's obviously not an easy thing.
Yeah.
I mean. You know, now that I'm on this side, I definitely see where the frustration comes from my other managers in the past. I'd be like, how hard is it? Call the guy and tell him, ask him what he wants, and you give it to him.
Yeah.
I realize now it's not as easy as I thought. So even though you want a guy, it doesn't mean you're going to get that guy. Because everyone, I mean, we all want the same guys, every manufacturer, every team. So, you know, you just have to, you know, give them, I guess, what they're looking for. And I feel like we have a good shot at it. We'll see what happens, though. You can't guarantee anything in a sport. You're the best guy, doesn't mean you're going to win. That's what I've also noticed.
Yeah, you got a point about that. I'm sure it's ongoing as we speak. And will you be happy going into the next year if you don't get one of the big three guys?
Yeah, I feel like we'll get a guy that, you know, as long as we're moving forward and making progress and, you know, even if I did keep the guys we have and I brought on one more guy that, you know, had a little bit of promise there, then it would be worth it. I mean, I'm not bummed on our guys, but we definitely need better results. And if they get better results, the money will come, and, you know, obviously them keeping their job will come. But so, you know, the whole thing's a cycle. It's a business. They have to do good enough so I can keep them, and that we can get our sponsors. We're driven off of sponsors, so if they aren't getting results, it's hard for us to get sponsors. We're not, and that's the same way on the other side. You know, the manufacturers are trying to sell bikes, or we're trying to sell bikes for them and make other people happy. So it's a tough thing. It's a bummer that sport, you know, you can't just get one guy and stick with him forever no matter what. The world's not like that.
No,
I wish it was.
Although the NASCAR guys, I mean, I guess in recent years they switch a lot, but man, some dudes drove for the same team and got the same crappy finishes week in and week out, but they were good with the sponsors and, you know, they had some fans. That doesn't cut it in our sport.
Yeah, it hasn't yet. I mean, maybe, you know, as we have some, you know, sponsors and everyone's really comfortable and they're sponsoring us just because we're Joe Gibbs Racing and they don't care about results.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I hear that someday, you know, then I guess it'll be different. But at the moment in racing, you know, results are pretty much what you have to do. And, you know, for Toyota, they knew that where we were at, and we, you know, they knew who we were probably going to hire, and they were fine with it. And as long as we keep getting better and working on getting better results, and every year we get better, and instead of go backwards, they'll be happy. But so far, everyone's very happy with us.
Let's talk about you a little bit.
Okay.
How's your relationship with Stuart?
It's good. We don't talk near as much as obviously we used to, but he's into texting, and I'm not really a big text messenger guy. I'm a little better now that I'm on the computer all the time, but I'm a talker. I like to call people. He doesn't like to pick up, so it's pretty difficult.
Yeah, I've been trying to
keep that communication going, but
I've been trying to get him for a while to do one of these things, but yeah, it's pretty much impossible.
You probably, if you wanted to do it by texting and you could hear the button push on your deal here, it'd probably be all right.
Be all right. What about the Kawasaki guys? How's everything going with them? You were there a long time, and I know there was a little bit of bitterness there, maybe on both sides when you left. So how's that going? Is it time healed everything?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I have a lot of friends there. I still talk to, you know, most of them. Kurt Rudd, we're still good buddies, and I talk to Kaipo a lot. Wiggins, we've been friends since we were 12 years old. He actually just moved in my house 2 weeks ago, him and another guy that works there, Casey, so obviously we're all good buddies. You know, there's a few that I don't really talk to as much as I did, but you know, on the most part, I don't have any super bad feelings. I don't necessarily you know, hate anyone there. I was there a long time, and it was a good job for me. Learned a lot. There's a lot of, you know, people that I know in different positions there too that I still keep in touch with.
Oh, good.
The marketing department, like Bruce Sternstrom and Jeff Herzog and Jan Plesner, they're all, you know, good people.
Sternstrom's a good dude.
Yeah, I mean, they're all, like, honestly, they're all really, it's a really good place to work, you know, and most of the companies are. I mean, Yamaha, you know, it's the same thing. When I worked for my brother, when he wrote for DGY, and then I actually worked for MTY for years, so I dealt with all the same Yamaha people that are there now.
Yeah.
And Mike Guerra, Keith McCarty, Bob Oliver, they've all been at Yamaha so long that it's obviously a good place to work, or they wouldn't have stayed so long. So most, you know, most of the places are good. Turnover's not near as high. But, you know, as you know, on a race team, personalities have to fit. I just felt, for me at the time, it's probably time for me to move on and do something. I was starting to struggle, so maybe it's partly me. And the opportunity was so good for me to come here that I had to jump on it. And I didn't want to let someone else start the team and then I come do it later, because that would be the easiest thing for me, was to stay with Stuart and win some more, and come when things, you know, maybe when his contract was up, I could, you know, do it then. That would be the easiest transition. But I wanted to set it up and be in there from the beginning and help Coy, you know, pick everybody on the staff. And I just wanted to do it all. That's why I had to do it when I did. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe you should do an interview with them and see if there's any bitterness toward me, but I think we're all good.
Yeah, I can try somebody. Maybe Williamson or Fisher.
Try a little podcast with them, see how they feel. But
how's it living in North Carolina?
A lot different. Yeah, it's definitely, you know, weather's quite a bit different. We were lucky. We were actually in a drought there at the beginning, so I was thinking, man, this place doesn't rain like what everyone told me. But then the last few months, it rained. It rained out a couple days. And definitely, you know, weather is a tricky part. I wear jackets a lot now. Shorts, I only wore shorts one day since I've lived here.
Jeez.
But yeah, a lot different. I saw you in shorts in Minneapolis, though. You obviously thought that you didn't look at the weather before you went there, I don't think.
I pretty much rock the shorts all the time, no matter what.
Yeah, because you're a California guy now, so you think you have to.
Well, I'm Canadian, and so
you live in the desert.
It's never really that cold. Do you know what I mean to me? Like, I'll show you cold.
Yeah, true.
You guys want cold, I'll show you cold.
So you wouldn't think where I live is cold either, then. It's not that cold. But it's actually really nice. There's an awesome lake here called Lake Norman. Really cool lake. I just got to buy a boat, and I'll really love it. But, you know, you get a lot of house for your money back here, for sure.
If you run into
the house, half the money.
Have you run into Stewart or Bush or any of those guys that drive for JGR?
The guys like Hansen and everybody else, they're always at the gym working out, and they see those guys quite a bit. But as far as me, I haven't seen them yet.
I don't think you're seeing Tony Stewart at the gym, though.
He might have been walking through to go to the bathroom or get coffee or something.
Yeah.
Or to go get something to eat. He's a lot different looking than... I saw some photos of him earlier. He was a lot skinnier, but he's even getting some long hair. I don't know. Maybe there's something I don't know about.
Something going on.
I heard there was some thing he's going to not cut his hair until he wins a race, but I don't know how true that is.
Yeah, who knows?
Could be, but his hair is long.
Obviously, everybody knows you from you know, working with Jeff Emig for a long time. Lots of titles. When he got fired from Cowie, I mean, what was that like for you? Were you thinking that you were going to go with him? Were you thinking that they were going to fire you because you're such tough buddies? I mean, was there, how much drama was it back then?
Honestly, Sternstrom was the guy in charge at the time, and he's a really, really good guy and really thinks stuff out. And, you know, for him, it was honestly the truth. He said, you know what, I love Emig. I mean, they give him bikes now, so obviously they like him. You know, he did something that was wrong and illegal. And, you know, if he did something like, you know, he got busted doing drinking and driving or something, that, you know, I could see that happening. But as far as doing something illegal, I have no choice but to get rid of him. And I respect him for that because it was a hard decision. And he did it, and Emig understood, and Bruce told me the whole time not to worry, that I would be fine. And he kept me on, no problem. I never was worried about my job. And as far as Emig, he was really cool. He told me that, you know, he was going to go try to find something, and if he found something worth leaving for, he would tell me. But he said, you need to stay there because it's a great job for you. And he actually is a good guy, and realized after he was fired how many people that he, you know, none of these riders look at it at what they're really, you know, how many people rely on them.
Right.
They go out and do whatever they want to do. They don't realize, which Emig realized after, is it affects me, it affects every single person on the team. It affects his trainer, it affects, you know, whoever his girlfriend or wife is at the time. You know, if you have kids, it affects your kids. Like, it affects all the sponsors. It affects so many people when you do something like that. He never thought about it. He went out, had a good time, something bad happened, and then he had to realize how many people he hurt from it.
Now, were you there with him at the time?
Actually, no, and I'm glad. I would have felt really bad if I was there on a lot of them.
Yeah.
But, not that time. And the funny part about the whole thing, he wasn't even a smoker. Like, I had a lot of friends that smoked, you know, illegal drugs.
Yes.
And he wasn't the one that did it. That's what's funny to me. He just happened to, you know,
at that
hang
time
out with the wrong crowd at that night, you know? And that's any, you know, any kid. You gotta surround yourself with people that are gonna help you, not drag you down. And you know, I guess he was with the wrong crowd that night for sure.
Motocross sure has changed since the days of Fro and MC in the river, and to what we have now, huh?
Yeah, the internet makes a big difference, you know.
Yeah.
Because you go do something now, it's on the internet, and right when you do it, so that makes it a little tougher to go out and kind of let your hair down, I guess, but. You know, I definitely had some fun times with Emig when I worked for him, and, you know, and now I'm, you know, I'm kind of hard on my guys, telling them they better not be out with their guys doing what I used to do. So it's kind of, you know, it definitely is different. But there's more money in it, too, you know. It's a real job now. It's, you know, the sport's bigger. There's more money. There's more, we expect a lot more out of the guys. And, you know, the good thing is they can make a lot of money and retire. The rest of us will still keep working, so
they can
party when they're done.
Yeah, some of the things that I've seen over the years with the legends, like back in the, you know, when I was a mechanic for Birdwell and those guys, it's amazing. You know,
and definitely Ricky took it to a whole new level. He took the training thing and really made the guys work 7 days a week. Now it used to be like a part-time job, but now he made it so you got to be in really good shape, ride. I mean, you got to do everything. You got to be on your game. The PR side, I mean, Ricky really stepped it up for everybody. So anyone that doesn't want to do the hard work, they should send him letters every day. And, you know, thanks.
And then you went from Emig you know, who started, who really was the epitome of the rock and roll lifestyle, to John Dowd.
Yeah, hard worker.
Yeah, next year.
Yep.
The next year. So what was Dowdy like to work for?
He was actually one of the nicest guys and knows more about his working on his own motorcycle than I ever knew. He struggled that year, though. I don't know. You know, he had some injuries, and results didn't happen that year. But as far as, you know, him being a great guy, he's awesome. Super nice. Very, as far as, like, testing and stuff, he knew how to work on his bike, but as far as telling you what the bike did, he had a tough time, really. You know, it was always fine. Yeah. Can we help you here? It's fine.
He's just so happy to get a paycheck to ride a motorcycle.
Yeah, he didn't really, it didn't really matter. You could change the suspension, and he didn't care either way. He was going to ride as hard as he could, no matter what.
Yeah, and then you had the other guy, you had Larry Ward, who was probably...
Definitely difficult.
Yeah.
He knew a lot. He wanted to change his bike all the time.
Yeah, I know.
We had two extremes. We had one that didn't care, and one that cared too much.
Yeah.
that's definitely, you know, our sport, that's the thing. It's like, you know, when you're a mechanic, you have to learn to adapt to each guy and try to bring the best out of them. And, you know, I definitely tried to help Dowd as much as I could. And I think that it was kind of bad timing for him getting hurt, and maybe he didn't really necessarily fit the bike really right then. But the bike, you know, every year it's a new bike. Some years are great, some years are not so good, and that's the way that the sport is. You know, you have to do the best with what you have. And, you know, I think that also, you know, Larry Ward and other guys like that, when they're maybe not happy, it transfers into some other guys that they don't know. They just believe whatever that guy is saying.
Yeah.
That makes it hard. If, you know, it's like a guy, if you're not doing good, you're going to blame your bike. If you're in car racing and you're not winning, you're going to say it's your car. So if everyone's saying it's the car, and then you stick a different guy on it and it wins, it obviously wasn't the car, and that's normally what ends up happening.
Here's the question, actually. I just thought of this. How come road racing and NASCAR guys, I noticed these two sports, they can get out of their car and say, you know what, my tires were no good today, my car was my bike/car, we were down on horsepower today, I did the best I could do today, you know, we'll just have to take it on the next week. Can you imagine James Stewart saying, you know, we just didn't have the bike for this race. I just wasn't happy with the bike. I was fighting it the whole time. I mean, can you imagine the field day people would have with that?
But
why do you think that is?
That's what makes NASCAR good, though. See, people want. That's what we need to change about our sport. And Live Nation would love to do the same thing. The problem is, we all pay them to say our team is great. If you really let them have a personality and say what they really feel, I think the sport would grow. People want to know the truth. They don't want you to, your bike to bog, you endo, you get up, you push it off the track, and you tell them, oh no, it didn't break. Everything was fine. It's like, I just saw you push your bike off. Oh yeah, everything's okay. Ignition.
Spark plug.
Yeah. Ignition. Don't worry. It won't happen to you. Like, the hard thing is, you know, all these guys, they're paid by the manufacturers to make their bike look good, and you can't talk bad about the bike. Which you shouldn't necessarily slam the whole deal.
No.
But you can do it in a good way. And it's, you know, the truth is, to me, I always feel the truth is okay. You know, when we used to have problems, it'd be like, what should we say? I'm like, what's wrong with the truth? The truth, you can't get in trouble with the truth.
Well, good, you must enjoy, you must not mind me writing then a little bit. I've written some slams on Hansen a little bit here and there, and he gave me some shit this weekend, but...
Well, the truth, it's hard to deny the truth, you know?
Yeah.
If you write what you feel, how can, you know, like I always tell everybody, don't worry about what they wrote, prove them wrong.
Yeah.
You ought to read that and go, you know what, why is he thinking that? Okay, I need to fix that, because these people, this is what they really think. So instead of getting mad at you for writing it, he should try to fix whatever it is that you wrote.
And it goes back to the teams as well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like if you're just making stuff up, yeah, that's not cool.
Yeah. So you're saying you think more of the case, it's because they're getting, like Tony Stewart's getting paid by JGR, not Toyota. So, you know, if he has a not good year. So if he says something negative about that, it's okay. In our sport, you know, the money is coming from Stewart, right from Kawasaki. So do you think that's part of the
Kawasaki
reason?
Yeah, Kawasaki pays him right in his pocket, and he can't say anything about that.
Right.
And also, you know, you have to do it the right way. Like, as far as Tony Stewart, I don't think the way that he slammed Goodyear was great either. But, you know, the sad thing is they're probably going to replay that all the time because his personality is showing. And as bad, you know, as many things that guy does wrong, he's a well-known guy and people love him because he says what he wants. But, you know, you could do it in a more tasteful way, I think, mm-hmm. and still get the same thing across. And I feel like there is, you know, things that you could say that are true. Mm-hmm. But also the writers need to be able to say, you know what, I just didn't have it today. If they, you
That'll
know,
never
that
happen.
Be true, too. But, yeah, I mean, that's the problem, though.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be able to admit everything. So if you're going to say the bike's bad this day, you
yeah.
need to be able to say I was bad this day.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean?
Ricky would say that. Ricky would say that every now and then.
Yeah, he's pretty good about it. But the hard part is that, you know, everyone puts in 100%. All these people pay these riders and these teams to do this as a sponsor. So it's kind of hard to let them say that it wasn't the best it could be because a lot of times, say, a tire wasn't good or the bike's not good, it's from the feedback from the rider wasn't told to them properly.
Right.
Or, you know, like if it was just a bad decision, that's okay. You know, you could say, yeah, my team made a bad decision. That's fine. But a lot of it comes from what the rider tells you. So, you know, it's a gray area, you know, whose fault it really is anyways.
Yeah.
And then if a bike's bad on the weekend, if you didn't put in a good testing week the week before and ride hard enough to ride like you did on the weekend, it was a false test anyways. So
yeah.
It's hard for, you know, you to say, oh, yeah, it's the team's fault because my bike's no good. Well, it's your fault because we couldn't set the bike up because you didn't ride it right during the week.
Yeah, our sport is more rider-dependent than the other two that I mentioned as well. So.
Yeah, and as far as, you know, NASCAR and road race, a lot of it is set up. So it's pretty obvious. When a car goes blowing by you, you're obviously not fast enough. In our sport, it's hard to say who has the fastest bike. I can't tell you right now who has the fastest bike or the bike that handles the best. And every week, the bike, you know, the tracks change, and it's not so constant.
Stewart's bike looks pretty good.
Yeah.
When he's racing.
I think ours look good, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you can put him on a moped and it make it look pretty dang fast.
I know.
I'm not saying his bike's not good. His bike is good. But, you know, the rider in our sport makes a really big difference. It's probably at least 70% you can win or lose.
Three more questions for you.
Okay.
What was the oddest thing that about James Stewart that maybe you can mention?
The oddest thing?
Yeah. What was the strangest thing to you about him, working for him?
The saddest part for me is that he doesn't have a whole lot of friends. I mean, that's the main thing that I felt. The oddest thing, though, is...
And, I mean, he just doesn't have any friends, probably because his whole life has been about motocross, you know? And he's traveled his whole life.
Yeah, I mean, all he does is ride.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't go to school very long, and then he raced, and, you know, the only friends he has are, you know, like Kyle Chisholm or Eric Sorby that actually are people from racing. As far as a friend that he met at school, he didn't have a normal life growing up as a kid.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
So was there any quirk about him as a rider that you noticed?
He's moody.
He's moody. All right. Skip this question.
Yeah, skip that one. Okay. I don't really have a good answer for you.
Okay, all right. How come you wear mechanics gloves all the time? You don't even work on bikes anymore, dude. I see you around. You almost always have mechanics wear gloves on. And I'm like, what's that guy doing? He's not working on bikes anymore.
Yeah, you're actually correct. I like wearing them like when we put the tent up.
Okay.
And then when it's cold, I've been wearing them lately.
Okay.
I have been wearing them. I actually really like wearing gloves.
Okay, all right.
Maybe I don't like my hands to get my nails to get dirty.
When's the last time you worked on a bike?
Atlanta.
Oh, okay. All right.
I helped. We did some last minute changes on the bike, and I had to jump in and help a little bit.
Okay, all right, good.
Not as much. It is kind of weird. Not as much as I used to. Like, I don't know the Yamaha really good yet. I'm still.
Yeah.
I need to actually take one apart and work on it a little more
so
I feel really comfortable.
I'm sure you'll get right on that.
I'll get right on that.
Best race for you ever as a mechanic?
What was the what?
Best race you ever had as a mechanic. Like, best race you ever saw.
Well, one of the ones one that sticks out in my mind is when I worked for Hemig and he beat McGrath, both motos, because he had to win the championship.
Steel City?
Yes.
Yeah.
96. He was the underdog, shouldn't have won, McGrath beats him every weekend except for when he hurt his ankle. And McGrath was actually feeling pretty good that day, pretty strong. And Emmy got the whole shot. McGrath passed him, which normally he's gone.
Yeah.
Emmy usually, whatever, I don't know what, he just didn't try hard anymore, or who knows. You'd have to ask him. But he passed McGrath back, which never happens, and rode his butt off with McGrath on him the whole race, and it was awesome. And then I'm thinking, cool, we did it, but we got to do it one more time or we can't win. And that's probably not going to happen. And then he did it the second moto, same thing, exactly. Start to finish, they were 1-2, and the whole race, it was awesome. So that's the one that, you know, was, and it was my first title we ever won, so that one's really big for me. As far as with Stewart, when we raced Canada and he beat Ricky, that was really awesome. Because, you know, obviously that was the first race on the 450, and his and he won actually really easy to me. Like, he looked really comfortable, and that, those were two, like, really good races for me. So year one, I'm going to take two on this one.
That's all right. That's cool. Orlando also 05 when he came back, and he took the lead. He didn't win, but when he that was his first race back after being out, first or second, I think it was first race. And
you talking about Stewart?
Yeah, Stewart.
And he crashed in the whoops.
Yeah. I mean, but he was unbelievable until, you know, like, it was like, holy smokes.
Yeah, he was really fast, and every time he went through the whoops, my heart would drop because he was, like, swapping every time but just holding it wide open.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, why doesn't he just slow down? But in his brain back then, he wanted to win so bad that he just went as fast as he could every time he got on the bike. And now that's the one thing that I think that he's learned. Is to be able to, you know, maybe slow down in some places where he's not comfortable, and, you know, speed up in a place he's comfortable. And that's what I always, you know, all of us always tried to work with him on, is to, you know, not push it every single lap. But if you have a bad section, maybe slow down. Don't just hold it wide open no matter what. And that's what he used to do. And he was definitely fast, but that's the negative, is he would crash a lot.
Yeah, did he ever, like, wear out weird stuff on the bike? I guess this is more than three questions, but did he ever wear out weird stuff on the bike as opposed to any other rider you've worked with?
Seat covers he rips up really bad just because he grips the bike so tight. But other than that, he's really easy. Like, as far as motor, he rides it perfect. He doesn't, you know, use clutches. He, you know, mainly just grips the seat and hours out motors really quick because he rides so much.
Yeah, he rides all the time.
Yeah, he rides a lot. He needs a lot of parts and a lot of equipment.
Yeah. Well, cool. Thanks for doing this, man. I appreciate it. I know I've always liked you, even like when you were the national champions mechanic and I was number 88, Ty Birdwell's mechanic. And I remember I had all these problems with the Kipps power valve at a race. You remember those things had like 8 million parts?
Yeah, the Cowie was very difficult.
Yeah.
I helped you with it.
And you helped me out at a race. I'm like, wow, this guy, like, doesn't even know me, but he's helping me out. I always thought that was really cool.
That is good. I'm glad I did that for you. See, it paid off.
Yeah, it
now
did.
You think I'm a nice guy.
Yeah, exactly. Now you have now you have a podcast interview. I mean, what else
right.
is there?
No, I mean, I've always tried to be pretty good. You know, if I have time, I'll definitely help people. I mean, there's definitely times somebody will come up and I can't help them, but I have no problem if it's, you know, helping somebody. I want people to help me when I need help, so I'm good with it. So I'm glad I helped you.
Oh, good. All right, well, cool. Hey, we'll see
Hopefully
you in...
Hopefully you don't need much help with your bikes anymore, because I'm getting a little rusty.
Yeah, no, I'm good. we will we'll see you in Toronto, and thanks for doing this.
All right, no problem.
All right,
see you later.
See ya.
All right, bye.
Thanks for listening to another Racer X Canada podcast show brought to you by Shift Racing. Check them out on the web at shift.ca. That was Joe Gibbs Racing team manager Jeremy Albrecht, otherwise known as J-Bone. Former factory Kawasaki wrench, former NCY wrench, also worked at Yamaha for a little bit. Real good guy, good interview, and I'm glad he took the time to do it. So don't forget to vote which podcast guest you want to see next. And thanks for listening this week. We'll catch you guys next week.